You're listening to Charlotte Community Talk with your host, Scott Pridemore and Mike Hagee.
Laurie Martin with Simplicity Organizers. Welcome, Laurie.
Thanks, Scott.
Well, we appreciate you being here for this episode of Charlotte Community Talk podcast. You know, really, we like to bring in people to sort of share their story and the good work that they do. And I'm going to get into the really, really good work that you do that I've witnessed personally beyond the simplicity organizing piece. I want to talk to you about that too. So, you know, if you're not already familiar, we like to bring in people that are just doing great work, whether they're entrepreneurs, principal at a school, city council member, whatever it is they do, and just sort of shine the spotlight on them for a little bit. So with that, let's get into Laurie Martin. And first, we'll talk a little bit about the business and how you came to open the business and make it as successful as you have. So if you don't mind, tell us about the beginnings of Simplicity Organizing.
Well, it's an interesting story for sure. When I was little, I loved organizing. It was a passion. I loved having things in its place. I loved color coordinating, cleaning. It was all just the joy that it brought me and the difference that it made in my impact in education of having everything organized in its place really helped me. And I majored in child development and got my teaching license, and I knew that I was going to be a teacher. But it was interesting, right when I graduated from college and had just started thinking about, you know, my direction, I'll never forget my dad calling me on the phone and saying, "Have you found a job yet?" And I said, this was back in 2001. And I said, "I'd really love to just organize." And there was dead silence on the phone. And he said, "Laurie, that is not a profession. You've got to go find a real job." And so I ended up interviewing at a school and here in Charlotte, Trinity Episcopal School, and got the job and was a teacher for 4 years. And then just took a break. And, you know, one night I was Googling professional organizer Charlotte to see if that really did exist. It was still just kind of, you know, pushing on my heart a little bit. And there were two companies at the time, and reached out to them. And one said, "Can you meet me tomorrow?" And I interviewed with her, and she ended up hiring me on the spot. And that was in 2006. So wow. Nobody majors in this. I think one day it probably will be a major, but right now it's not. And so it's just more of a passion of helping people and discovering, you know, the joy that you find and letting things go and learning to use what you have. And so I worked for her for 2 years, and she asked me to run her company, which I did for 2 years. And then she was ready to sell her company. So it just worked out really well. And I took over in 2010.
Wow, that's fantastic. And, you know, I'm sure that your father's answer was well-meaning. It's just at the time that, you know, you made that proclamation, if you will, that I would like to organize. I think that's how most parents would answer in a similar way, because it was a little bit early, right?
It was way early. It was just coming into play. And I think now there's close to 50 organizing companies in Charlotte. I mean, it is a professional.
Wow, there are really that many?
Picking up, yes.
Wow.
Yes. Also over 1 million people in Charlotte. So, you know, competition. Yeah. We work together. I actually started a group called Carolina Organizers, and it's where organizers come together, and great place for us to refer each other and resource out and go from there.
That's fantastic. And, you know, you touched on this just a moment ago with respect to the whole organizing process. As a customer of Simplicity, I can certainly add testimony to the fact that there is a bit of a freeing that takes place psychologically when you get rid of stuff that you really don't need, or you organize what you have, or the combination of the two. And in speaking of the connections, you're able to help folks identify, you know, those things that maybe they don't need through that organization, but connect them to resources to maybe offload the things they don't need that, you know, would benefit someone else. You're able to plug them into other areas of for folks in need, our neighbors here in Charlotte. Are there any particular organizations that you'd like to mention here on this podcast that you like maybe recommend for folks for donating furniture or clothing, what have you, for folks to donate?
Golly, there are so many incredible resources out there. You know, there's so many nonprofits in need of items. We actually have a place on our website. If you go to simplicityorganizers.com, we have a resources page of where to donate. But, you know, Habitat is great for furniture. Salvation Army, there's a new nonprofit called Furnish for Good that is incredible. There's, you know, lots of, some places will come and pick up from you, some you have to bring to them. And so it really depends on the quantity and, you know, what you're looking at. A lot of what makes it a little bit difficult is not every organization, except for probably Goodwill, just takes everything. And so, you know, it's the finding the time and the commitment to taking the items of where they need to go. Miravia is a great place for baby items. You know, the men's shelter with donated items for, you know, toiletries. So it's a matter of figuring out where these items need to go. And a lot of times the hardest part is just getting it there. You know, it's just one more thing that holds you up. So sometimes going ahead and scheduling a donation nonprofit to come and pick up will help motivate you to let those things go, or scheduling someone like Junk Luggers to come and pick up items from your house and directing them where to go is helpful too. And of course, you can certainly just load everything into your car and when it's full, take it to where it needs to be.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. So if you don't mind, for folks that are listening to this podcast that have never utilized your services or the services of an organizer, And if you don't mind, let's share with the listeners what it's like pre-COVID, you know, because I feel like at some point you'll be able to operate as you did before COVID. Can you speak to maybe the process when someone enlists your services to come in and help them with organizational services?
Absolutely. I think everyone, you know, when it starts to pile up and you start to feel paralyzed by it, and it's just, you feel like you don't even know where to start or where to begin, that's a great time to invite help to come in and just, you know, walk alongside of you through the process. It can be intimidating having someone come into your house that you don't know, and you don't know, you know, who they are, what they're about. And so making sure that you do your research on the company that you're inviting into your home. And really it's a team effort, and it's not about us telling you what to do. It's about us asking you questions to help you figure out what you really need and what you really use. And when someone's walking beside you through the process, you know, sorting and getting like items together, and you're making the decisions and they are moving it along, it's just really freeing. And it's nice to have a partner with you in the process, someone who, you know, has the education and the knowledge and the resources to know where to direct your stuff that you're letting go at the same time. And it's a journey. It's not, you know, it's not a one-time event. Yes, an organizer can make a space look pretty, but after they leave, you got to be able to maintain that space. And so part of it is educating the client on how to keep things maintained, how to get your family involved in the process. You know, a lot of times, you know, one person feels, you know, just burdened by everything. And this is, your family is there to help you and support you. And I think it's important to get them involved and, you know, get everybody on board and get everyone to be a part of this process. A lot of times organizing is a learned skill. And so it's great to teach your children at a young age and to get them involved so that they can, you know, apply that later on in life.
Oh, absolutely. I can speak to that as well with getting our daughters involved in that process. And they were actually excited to keep it going. Now they helped create the plan, and they're able to adhere to that plan because they played a role in its creation. So I would agree with that, with getting kids involved in particular.
And when everything has a home, it makes it easier to put things away. Labels are critical, especially for children. You know, once you have organized a space and you've got it labeled and everything has a home, when it's time to clean up, everybody knows where those items go. And so it just takes 10, 15 minutes at the end of a day, you know, to pick everything up, as opposed to, you know, we always say clutter is a magnet for clutter. So if there's a pile of stuff, you know, what's one more thing added to it? What's two more things added to it? And then it just piles and piles and piles. And then you've got hours worth of digging through, and you don't have the time for hours worth. And so you push it off a little bit more. And now you're talking days or sometimes weeks. And sometimes it takes us a month to clear out someone's house. So, you know, trying to keep up with it. And we do a 15-minute cleanup every single day in our house. So when everybody goes to bed, we're waking up with a fresh start, and it really helps the start of our days.
By the way, I love that picture or that caption over there you have on your wall, that love is all you need. I got that song in my head now, the Beatles song. Good stuff.
Thanks. So, this is our 20-year-old's room. So that's her song. Give her the credit.
Yeah. Well, I need one. So tell us, you know, who is, and I know you have corporate customers, residential customers, folks that have home offices. So, you know, obviously hybrid. So who is like the ideal, who have you been able to help most? Are there people that just, you walk in and you're like, wow, that you really need my help? Or is it the folks that just need a little touch up, or somewhere in between?
Anyone who's ready for a change.
Okay. All right. Okay. Absolutely.
So they've got to want this. You know, a lot of people want to nominate their spouse or their mom or their dad. My parents really need your help. Can you please call them? And we push it back on them to say, if your parents want our help, they've got to call us. You've got to be the one who is ready and willing. If you live in a very tight space and small quarters, and your house is completely full, and you're shopping at Costco and buying in bulk, and you're not willing to let anything go or change some of your habits, it's like shifting chairs in the Titanic. We're not going to be able to make a difference. So a huge part of this is really recognizing what you use and love, and learning to not bring so much into your home. The moment something comes into your home, you have an attachment to it, even if it was free from Chick-fil-A. So the more you can say no to bringing it in, you know, it makes it easier to be able to keep up with things. But it's so easy nowadays, with a click of a button, with freebies, with everything that's so inexpensive, to quickly pile up. I mean, in 2 minutes, you can have an Amazon delivery of 30 things. And if you don't want them, now you've got to deal with returning it. And who has time for that? So you end up keeping it, and then you paid for it, so you don't want to let it go. So it's just this vicious cycle. And if you can say no to begin with, and you start really using what you have, it will make a powerful difference in your life.
Absolutely. So you use the word that I think is, it's poignant, and I want to sort of look at that attachment. So, you know, how do you get people to work through the attachment that they have with their stuff?
It's tough. I really wish I had majored in psychology, but it really is in the questions. You know, how much is enough? How many, you know, pairs of black pants do you ultimately need? How many swim goggles are enough for your family? And so I'll never forget this one client. She kept going out and buying more swim goggles, and we ended up finding about 23 pairs. And we had asked her at the beginning, you know, how many is enough for your family? And she said, 4 is plenty. And when we came across 23, you know, she immediately was like, well, maybe 8 is enough. You know, it quickly grew a little bit, you know, once she saw the volume. But it was, you know, it is true. How much do we really need, use, and love? And, you know, think about when you go on vacation, you take the things that are, you know, that you want to wear and that you love, and you kind of just push the rest aside. I feel like if we're buying more, it means we're not satisfied with what we have. So it's a matter of, you know, letting more things go if you're going to buy something new.
Absolutely.
I think every house needs a big declutter twice a year. I think that's a good rule of thumb.
Absolutely.
As seasons change, it's a good time to let things go and reevaluate if you haven't worn things. I pulled the hanger trick on my husband where I do the laundry and I switched all of his shirts with the hanger flipped the opposite direction. And so every time he wore something, I flipped the hanger back around. At the end of 6 months, there were 6 shirts that he had not worn. And so I pulled him out and I said,
wow,
can I let these 6 shirts go? And he said, no, I wear them all the time. And I said, actually, you haven't worn them in 6 months. And I told him my hanger trick. And he said, well, I'm going to wear one now and you can let the rest go.
That's crazy. That's the 80-20 rule, Pareto's principle.
Yes.
You know? Yeah,
we wear to everything in our homes.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So, and now, how are you operating now, given and have you worked for over the past 10 weeks with respect to the pandemic? What's that been like?
You know, we shut down temporarily for, you know, the first 2 phases and being respectful for the community and ourselves and, you know, the governor's laws that he set in place. But we, now that everything is slowly opening back up, we are back into the field. We do have a smaller team right now of 4 instead of 14 at the moment, but we do have new contracts, you know, that clients sign in regards to CDC guidelines. We have coronavirus disclosure agreements. And so letting our clients know, you know, have we been exposed? Have we flown in an airplane? And same, they're communicating that to us as well, so that we, you know, we are wearing masks, we're washing our hands frequently. So we are being very mindful and respectful when we are going into people's homes, but we are back in the field officially.
Okay. Well, good, good. I'm glad that you're able to at least phase back into, you know, somewhat normalcy and how you operate. Laurie, I also want to talk a little bit about some of the great work that you've done with the West Charlotte, it's the West Charlotte Ministry, right?
It's Box of Love.
Box of Love. And when you saw that we were in effective lockdown and you had to basically cease operations in your business, you poured your energy into trying to help others in need through not only the ministry, but then specifically for you in the Box of Love. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, for sure. That was, you know, it was really tough on a small business having to shut down. And it was, you know, that hit pretty hard. And we as a company do a book drive collection for Windsor Park every year. And we collect between 5,000, 6,000 children's book each year and give them to the children. And we had slowly started to collect those books in April. And we had about 300 because we don't launch this really until the 1st of May. And I had collected all these boxes to, you know, organize these books in. And when everything shut down, I was just remember looking at my basement filled with 300 children's books, and you know, nobody was taking them because of their focus was on food at the moment. So everybody was in, you know, what's most important was getting these families fed, which of course is really important. And so, you know, I reached out to a few organizations. Everybody just said, again, we're looking for food. Finally, I found Families Forward, who said, you know what, we have 30 families who would love these children's books. So my husband and I quickly bagged up, you know, 10 books in a bag and created 30 bags for these families. And they just raved about the difference that it made in these children's lives just to have something new, you know, to look at, and reading is so important. And then I had all these boxes and I reached back out to Barton Uno with West Boulevard Ministry. And I said, I've got these 30 boxes. What if I just ask the community to donate some food, since that's what you want, and we can give 30 boxes. And so little did I realize that those 30 boxes would turn into 600 boxes, and just the difference that it made in 600 families. And from there, after we kind of wrapped that up, my heart was still, you know, I was a teacher and my heart is really with these children and what are they doing over the summer, since they're not in school and many aren't in camps and they're stuck at home. And so I just said, what if we, you know, push for people donating educational and art supplies for at-risk children. And so I reached out to Bronica Glover with Greater Enrichment Program. And she said, we have 400 families that would love donations of educational and art supplies. And we also incorporated in two nonprofits, Congregations for Kids and Foster Village, who support foster children. And there's a huge need of support for these children right now. Is that need is increasing with what's going on. And
sorry, what was the name of that organization for the fostering?
Foster Village and Congregations for Kids.
Wow.
And
okay.
So, you know, we made over 500 boxes and bags of educational and art supplies just in 2 weeks of the donations from our Charlotte community and, you know, people from California, Israel, Florida. Wow. All these people were hearing about it and just the donations were just pouring in. And we have just some incredible pictures of the quantity of Legos and books and art supplies and bubbles and you name it was donated. And so I actually stopped by Great Enrichment Program this week and they were all out delivering those 400 gift bags and boxes. So that was really cool.
That is fantastic. I had the honor of you introducing me to Bart Noonan with West Boulevard Ministry. And he shared what I really love about the donations that are taking place through Bart and West Boulevard Ministry is these are folks here in Charlotte that are in need. These are our neighbors. These are folks, you know, literally along South Boulevard and over on the west side. And Bart takes, he knows these families, he knows these kids, and he takes these boxes of love and gives them to the families in need. I appreciate you introducing that to us. And can you just touch on a little bit more about some of that experience that you've had with the boxes of love?
It's amazing the difference that you feel when you know that the ways that you're giving back is actually filling to yourself. So the joy that, you know, joy is found in giving. It's not taking that focus on ourselves and, you know, what can we do for ourselves and feeling sad. You know, when you're feeling, I was feeling pretty down and depressed about what was going on. And the more I got involved with giving back, my frame of mind completely changed. And it brought me such joy to know that I was making a difference. And I, you know, it was incredible. I think so many people are hungry to do something, to give back, and just funneling something small, even if you can't, you know, financially invest in anything, but it's driving the bags or boxes and the donations, being a drop-off location, sorting items. There's so many things that we can do. It's just a matter of taking the time to figure out where can I go to serve and give back? And there's so many different opportunities out there. And it just makes the biggest difference in yourself and in the lives of others.
I love that. And you effectively were working just as hard as if COVID didn't happen, but pouring it into these fantastic organizations. Like I just envisioned Laurie Martin getting up in the morning and you're going to work. But today you're working for other people. Pardon?
I said it was working in my garage. It's the first time I've ever not been able to park in my garage.
Yeah. But I mean, I just commend you on everything that you did to support these great causes and just pouring your time and energy.
It takes a village, and it's people like you and this community who say, yes, why not? Let me help out. And thank you for spreading the word and being a part of this. You know, this isn't about me. This is about our community and it's about working together.
Well, for these, and on your website, on the Simplicity Organizers website, do you have the charities that you guys support listed there?
They are definitely on our website. You know, I'm I think we have a page for Box of Love, and it has pictures and the information there as well. And of course, our social media has tons of pictures about it, but we do kind of keep it updated on our website, and there's a whole section for Box of Love.
So for folks that want more information, maybe just the social media, would that be the quickest route?
That or our website. You know, we are currently, we're not collecting anymore. That collections drive is ending. We're going to take a break. I'm thinking we might ignite it back up right before school starts. Is there will likely be a need for school supplies with these students getting back to school, hopefully.
Right. Hopefully. Yeah, absolutely. Well, with that, the website, what's the website for Simplicity Organizers? I know I have it saved.
SimplicityOrganizers.com.
Okay. Very good. And look forward to connecting you with folks that need organizing, as corporate as well as residential. I appreciate you being on today, and I'm sure you've got a busy docket of things to do on this Thursday. So we appreciate you taking time to be with us and sharing your story and the story of Simplicity Organizing Organizers. I know that you probably get that a fair amount. Simplicity Organizers.
Well, it's a huge shout out to you, Scott, and what Pridemore Properties is doing and involved with. And, you know, you're constantly out there. We're excited about the shredding event coming up, you know, to support that. So many people have papers that need to be
put
on their files.
Thank you for,
We are going to be promoting that for sure. Thank you.
Definitely. And we'll put that on social so folks get the day and the time. And thank you for the reminder there. Yes, looking forward to partnering with you guys on that and continuing this partnership of trying to help each other out. And I hope that you're able to continue to build your practice and help more people see the need for organizing. I'll certainly continue to recommend you wholeheartedly. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. Laurie Martin, Simplicity Organizers, on today's episode of Charlotte Community Podcast. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Charlotte Community Talk, brought to you by Pridemore Properties. For more information and for more podcasts like this, check them out at pridemoreproperties.com.